Then they got Joseph's robe, slaughtered a goat, and dipped the robe in blood. Then took the ornament robe back to their father and said, "We found this. Examine it to see whether it's your son's robe." He recognized it and said, "It is my son's robe. Some furious animal has devoured him." Joseph has surely been torn to pieces. Then Jacob tore his clothes, put on sackcloth, and mourned for his son many days. All his sons and daughters came to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted. "No," he said, "I will continue to mourn until I join my son in the grave." So his father wept for him.
Good morning. Good news. This time next week, it'll be over. I'll just think about that for a moment. You'll be glad. They were talking about on the news this morning, does this seem like a long election season? Well, the 8th of November is the absolute latest the presidential election can be. So it has been long, but it will be over this week. And we'll move on to something else. But there will be something else because media needs it. We all do, I suppose. Glad you're here. Today, we're having a special contribution this morning. All of our contribution this morning will go to the Stones River Manor as part of their building fund. And they are almost complete with what they needed to raise. If you'll remember, this is to do some renovation, to add skilled nursing facility, to improve and to do a new Alzheimer unit. So the elders have decided that today our contribution will go toward that. So remember that as we contribute. If you want to do something special with that, that will all go to the Stones River Manor today. We're in November. It seems really hard to believe. And I know I'm just getting older. It's faster. I think the weather being so warm, the leaves are falling, but it still just hadn't really felt like November. I missed trick-or-treating at the courthouse this year. I had some meetings, and I couldn't be there. I always enjoy that. So it just seems like it's kind of blown by. We enjoyed the fall party last week, which was good, but I just can't believe it's November. But November is a time for Thanksgiving. It's a time for Thanksgiving. And I really want to talk about that for a lot of our lessons together this month, the month of November, not just as we get toward the end of the month, and we'll celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And I believe Auburntown will come here, Rob, on Wednesday night before Thanksgiving, and we'll sing and have time of fellowship and invite you to come be a part of that. But I want us to think about being thankful through this month of November as a time of Thanksgiving. And part of that is because of the bounty of the harvest that we have. But I want us just to stop and be thankful about all that God has blessed us with. Looking for God's blessings every day, especially in this month, thinking about all that God has blessed us with and done for us. Because what is it easy for us to do? Be dissatisfied and complain, isn't it? Does that come easy for you? It does for most of us. We just tend to be dissatisfied, and it's easy to find the difficulties. And something about the way most of us are wired, if not all of us are wired, 100 good things can happen to you today, and one bad thing or one unpleasant thing or one unpleasant experience, and tonight when you lay down, what will probably be the one thing on your mind? That one unpleasant thing. Isn't it? That just somehow, if someone makes one comment to you that's not complimentary, maybe 100 people say something complimentary, what do you remember? The one uncomplimentary thing. It's just something about the way most of us are wired that happens to us. So I want to think about, like the song says, counting our blessings. Thinking about all the blessings that God has given to us and looking for those even amongst the difficulties of life. And that's kind of our theme quickly this morning. looking for God's blessings even amongst the difficulties. Going to spend most of the time in one story. I'll make reference to a second that I make reference to a lot because I think these are two tremendous stories. One of those being about Ruth that we'll talk about secondly just as a reminder. But I want to talk a little bit about the story of Joseph, but mainly kind of from the perspective of his father, the perspective of Israel or Jacob. You remember Jacob is the son of Isaac, who is the son of Abraham, and he changes his name to Israel. So in the latter part of the book of Genesis, Jacob is referred to as Israel. It is his sons that develop the nation that becomes the nation of Israel. Now, as Will read for us, what happens in this story where now Israel is grieving? Where Israel is grieving. He is grieving because he believes that his son Joseph has died. That a wild animal has overtaken him on the road and has devoured him, because that's what his sons want him to believe. They are deceiving their father, which is a whole another lesson about how these men who will become the heads of the 12 tribes of the nation of God's people lie to daddy. Every one of them. Right? Except for Benjamin, who's not a part of it. They're in lockstep. Reuben had tried to save Joseph, was going to set him free. And you remember, they don't kill Joseph, although that really is part of their original plan, but they sell him into slavery in Egypt. Remember that? They throw him into the cistern. And while Reuben, the oldest, is taking his turn caring for the sheep, a Midianite caravan going to Egypt comes and they sell Joseph into slavery. They take the coat of many colors that Dolly Parton sings about and that his father had given him, and they shred it and they put the blood of goat on it and take it to their father and say, "Do you recognize the coat?" He immediately recognizes it and jumps to the conclusion that they want him to jump to, and that is that Joseph is dead. Joseph has died. You remember that Jacob leaves home and he goes to his uncle Laban, who is his mother's brother. And he's working for him, and he falls in love with his younger daughter, Rachel. Remember that? And so he works 7 years for Rachel. Laban is also a man of impeccable character. And so they have a big wedding for Jacob and supposedly Rachel. And after spending their wedding night together, Jacob wakes up. You heard the old song, "I came in last night at 2 with a 10, and I woke up at 10 with a 2. Well, he does not wake up with his beloved Rachel. He wakes up with her older sister, Leah, who is not attractive and whom he does not love. And it is a sad story about Leah, because she is not a beautiful woman, and her husband does not love her, but she is blessed by God in that she has most of the children by Jacob, who become this great nation of Israel. But then you remember, after a period of time, he is able to marry Rachel and then work 7 years. He doesn't have to wait 14 years to marry Rachel. He'll work 7 years as an obligation after he marries Rachel. But it is Rachel whom Jacob truly loves. And so she has two sons, Joseph and Benjamin, and then dies. And so Joseph and Benjamin, who are the children of his beloved wife, are Jacob's favorites. And so that causes jealousy. And then Joseph is also a man blessed by God. Blessed by God. He has visions about what's going to happen. And those visions that involve his family make his brothers extremely angry, and even make Jacob disturbed at times when Joseph reveals those visions that God had revealed to him, that they were going to bow down to him. Well, we move forward, and Joseph is sold into slavery, and then he becomes a slave of Potiphar and is doing a great job, and Potiphar's wife lies about what Joseph has done, and so he winds up in jail for quite an extended period of time, but he's able to tell the dreams of two of the servants of Pharaoh. And finally, when Pharaoh has a dream that no one in the kingdom can interpret, the butler remembers Joseph, and Joseph then foretells the dream for Pharaoh and then becomes second unto Pharaoh, becomes in charge of setting aside food during these 7 years of plenty so that they would have food and 7 years of famine. And that then Joseph's brothers travel to Egypt because the only place that has food is in Egypt. And they travel there to buy food for their families and for their livestock. And they do not recognize Joseph, but Joseph at this point has been elevated. He is a man of great power, and at this point a man of great comfort and prestige. And you remember that Joseph does not reveal himself to his brothers. They don't know who he is. And so he finds out that his father is still living, that Benjamin is still living, and he, if you'll remember, returns the money back with his brothers and also puts a cup in the sack of one of the brothers after Benjamin comes. But Benjamin doesn't come the first time. And why is that? Because Jacob won't let him go, because he is the youngest son and the son of his beloved Rachel. And after Simeon is placed in prison, in jail, Joseph tells his brothers, go back, and so I'll know you're not a spy, that your story is true. Send your younger brother. And what's Jacob's reaction to that? I'm not going to send him because I have already lost Joseph, and Simeon is now lost to me. And so he doesn't want to send Benjamin. And Reuben, the one who would have saved Joseph, said, take both of my sons if I don't return Benjamin to you. But we're going to starve. And you remember, Joseph sends them grain back, and the term that is used in the book of Deuteronomy is to feed your starving families. That's how serious this situation is. They're in Egypt not because it just makes it a little better. They're in Egypt to buy food for survival. And Joseph has been placed there to make a difference for all the Egyptian people, but to bring about perseverance of his own family, which will become the chosen people of God. And so then you remember Joseph does reveal himself to his brothers and has Jacob then brought to Egypt, where he will live out the rest of his days, and he will die in Egypt in really comfort at that point. And they settle in the land of Goshen, which is down on the Nile River Delta. So they're in a place of great fertility, and the nation of Israel then develops in this land of Egypt. But the story of Joseph is the story of a man whom God has chosen, whom God is going to use in tremendous ways. But his life is very tough, isn't it? His life is very tough. That your brothers, that your family doesn't get along and they don't like you is not a good situation. It's just not a good situation. Especially when they don't like you for really doing what God has called you to do. That's pretty tough, isn't it? Joseph didn't make up these dreams. Joseph was not an egomaniac that just said, you know, I'm going to rule the world in some form or fashion. But God actually gave him these dreams, these visions that he related about what was going to happen with his brothers. And then, sure enough, they do bow down to him in Egypt, don't they? So his family doesn't like him. And then he goes to Egypt. He's sold as a slave. How tough is that? Getting kidnapped would be bad. I mean, really bad. But then having your family sell you as a slave adds insult to injury. Wouldn't you agree? Just think that, you know, it wasn't like they came and, you know, shanghaied me, to use a more modern term, but my family sold me as a slave. Man, I can only imagine the dark days that Joseph had put in that place. And then to go and to wind up in a pretty good slave's position, where a man Potiphar trusts you because you're trustworthy and capable. And then to wind up in prison for doing the right thing. If he had given in to Potiphar's wife, he wouldn't have wound up in prison. We don't know what would have happened, but it was the wrong thing to do. So he stood up and did the right thing, and he winds up in prison. Now, what question would you have to ask? Now, God, I thought I was doing what you want me to do, and this ain't working out so good. And so all those days in jail, Joseph has to struggle again. And then he's able to tell the dreams of the cupbearer and the baker for Pharaoh. And he says cupbearer, because he knows he's going to be reinstated. That's the interpretation of his dream. You know, remember me when you're back with Pharaoh. Well, he does, but it's a long time later before he's out. And then, of course, we know things turn out well for Joseph. And through all of this struggle of Joseph, Jacob thinks what? My son is dead. That's what he thinks. My son is dead. And he grieves. In fact, what Wilberforce, he wouldn't let anybody console him when he finds the news that Joseph is dead, or at least the ruse that Joseph is dead. He won't let anybody console him. And then he still is grieving because he makes that comment when Benjamin, I just can't, it would kill me. I have already lost Joseph. It would kill me to lose Benjamin. He's still grieving over that, thinking all these things are bad. And they are difficult. But in that situation, what do we know that at the time Joseph and Jacob didn't know? That God was working through them, right? That God was using them to bless His people. That God was using them to bring about His business. And so now I want to read a little later in the book of Genesis. Now this is when Jacob now is back with Joseph, and he has seen Ephraim and Manasseh, the two sons of Joseph. And this is really a verse of thanksgiving from Israel. Israel said to Joseph, I never expected to see your face again. I thought you were dead. And now God has allowed me to see your children too. But son, I never thought I'd ever see you again. I never thought I'd see your face again. And now not only do I get to see your face, but I get to see your children. It is one of blessing and one of thanksgiving that Jacob gets to see something he never expected to see. Never expected to see. As we're living life in this month of Thanksgiving, are we looking for God's blessings, and are we thankful for what God does for us, and are we trusting in God even in times of difficulty? Because all of us face times of difficulty. It just goes with life. It just goes with life. But are we looking for God's blessings? Because God uses all of these things, the Scripture will tell us. The Apostle Paul will say what? About everything. It all works together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes, right? Now, I've told you this before, you've heard it 1,000 times. But it's hard sometimes to grasp. Paul never says everything is pleasant. Right? Paul doesn't say everything is easy. Paul doesn't say everything is downhill. Paul doesn't even say that everything is good. But Paul says this. that everything works together for good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purposes. Now, were the things that happened to Jacob and Joseph pleasant? No. Are there things that you'll be happy about if they happen to you? No. No, they were unpleasant. Their grief was real. Their pain was real. I'm sure their doubt was real. Their struggle was real. But what's important for us to learn from their lives is this, that God had not forsaken them. God was not angry with them. God was not incapable of delivering them. But what? God worked that situation out for real good in their lives. And so Abraham is thankful. Jacob was thankful, Abraham's grandson, that he got to see his son again and his grandchildren that he never expected. And so we need to always look and be thankful to God for the blessings that we have and to remain faithful in the struggles as they come, in those things that are difficult, but realize that God does not leave us alone, but that God blesses us. And then quickly, the story of Ruth is really a story very much the same as the story of Joseph. And we have related many times because it is such a powerful, powerful story. And we'll again talk about it from the story of the parent or the grandparent, and that would be Naomi. You remember Naomi goes because again there's a famine. There's a drought. There's a famine. Famines cause a lot of things to happen in people's lives, don't they? You know, they even happen in the animal kingdom. Because I know many times when we watch Animal Planet, or at least when they had actually the animal shows, which I still really enjoy, and it was always on Sunday night that was Mutual of Omaha's Wild Kingdom, but it ended in time for me to get North Boulevard that started at 6:30. But we would watch about all that. But what causes them to move? Droughts and famines, right? You know, they always have a picture of the last water hole that's full of alligators and hippopotamuses. You know, and they're all moving across country to try to find water. Well, that's what nomadic people have done for centuries, just like animals. You know, you got to go where the food is. It's kind of like the comedian said one time, we got deserts in our country, we just don't try to live in them. Encouraging folks who have perpetual famines to find a more fertile place to live. But sometimes, even in fertile places, there's famine, so people move. And so Naomi has to leave home, go to Moab, where there is food and opportunity. And her husband dies, and her sons dies, and she's left with her daughter-in-laws, and they are struggling. And you remember, she and Ruth come back to Israel, and Naomi even says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because God has dealt bitterly with me. And you remember what happens, that Ruth, who is really a person of great character, one of those folks we see in the scripture that has the greatest of character, marries Boaz, and they have Obed, who has Jesse, who has David, who becomes king of Israel, on whose throne the Messiah will sit. Remember? But everything seemed unpleasant for her, but God blessed them in ways that they couldn't see and in great ways. So in this month of November, this time of Thanksgiving, let's look for the blessings of God and realize that even in some of the struggles, many of the struggles we have, those blessings do not become immediately clear. They don't become immediately clear. It's really nice if I can wake up tomorrow and it all makes sense. But it's not always immediately clear. But let's be thankful and trust in God that if we are about His business and surrender our will, that God will work in our lives to bring about His good, and to be thankful for that, and to be trusting in Him. Believing that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Remembering the gift of the Son of God, who gave His life, and whom God resurrected, who shed His blood, through whom we might be cleansed, and while we are imperfect, while we are sinners and unworthy, and as we talked about in Isaiah, we are unclean, that we can be cleansed and made whiter than snow, and that we can be justified and stand then before God, anticipating well done, good and faithful servant, because of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. Let's give thanks in the month of November. Let's give thanks to God, remembering that from Him all good things come. All good things come, and as we enjoy the blessings that we have, instead of complaining, let's look for those blessings and be thankful to the one who gave it. And if you need to come in response to the greatest gift, that of Jesus, do that while we stand and sing.